You were my testimony. Oh, you never gave up on me. You never gave up on me. You were my testimony. Oh, you never gave up on me.
Good morning. It's nice to see you guys this morning. We're going to get started with a few announcements. First of all, keep in mind you should have a connection card at your seat. Fill those out, especially if you're a first-time visitor. Fill those out so that we can kind of connect with you a little bit. And if you have a prayer request, fill it out. Put that prayer request on the card so that we can come alongside you and pray. Also, if you have a praise report, we'd love to praise with you as well. So fill those out, and when we take offering up here in just a little bit, put them in the offering plate so that we can come alongside you in whatever way. So we have some kids that have been attending, and so we are planning a skate party for them, and the kids are actually going to go skating March 8th, and there's a small... Sunday afternoon. It's a Sunday afternoon. And so that's on the horizon. We are starting a new Bible study this Wednesday. It is called Jesus-Centered, and it's a small group, 7 sessions of that. And so I want to encourage you guys to join us. We have a great time Wednesday evenings just sharing, getting into God's Word, and just having some fun. So join us Wednesday at 6:30 for that. Also, there is the Master's Canvas. The district kind of brings the women together. And this year, it's going to be March 28th. It's just a one-day thing. And so they're going to be heading over to Galloway over near Columbus. And the Master's Canvas, so the canvas, and so they'll be doing some painting and just sharing, and I would imagine doing some singing and stuff like that. It sounds like a great day for the ladies. There is a small cost involved, which is $40. Yeah, don't let the $40 hold you back. If you have a little trouble with that $40, let us know, and we will do everything in our power to help you attend. So, put that on your calendars, March 28th, I believe that's a Saturday, is it? Do you remember? Okay, it is a Saturday. All day Saturday. So, also, I'm sorry if I'm still getting over my issue, but could take forever, but I have. No, I'm kidding. But anyways, so join us for that. Remember our praise reports and our prayer requests on the back of the bulletin. And I'm sure there's some unspoken prayer requests out there. So whenever you're sharing time with God this week, just lift these up if you would. And the prayer meeting, I was about to flip it over. Thursday, February 20th is going to be our next prayer meeting. Yeah, so if you would. Also plan to join us for that. We want to be in prayer about about how God's leading and just bringing us all together and just how we can be effective and sharing God's word with the community and those that we come in contact with. So join us for that as well. So I'm going to invite, I was going to say ladies, but Artie too. The ladies and Artie. The ladies and Artie. And they're going to bless us all around today. So if you'll stand with me. We're going to sing Grace Got You. Now, this one here, we don't have the lyrics up. You may know some of it. Sing along the best you can. Enjoy the service.
When the song's through, it's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met those that keep hoping when it's hopeless? It's like they figured out what the rest haven't yet. The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time till you see. Walking just won't do this. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you, left to your whole side certain smile. Like you just got away with something. Why? Cause you just got away with something. Ever since grace got you. So when you're standing in the rain again, you might as well be dancing. Why? Cause there ain't no storm that can change how this ends. So next time when you feel blue, don't let that smile leave you. Why? Cause you have every reason just to sing. So the back row hears you cry. Walking just won't do this. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you there. So your whole side turned and smile. Like you just got away with something. Why? Cause you just got away with something. Ever since grace got you. Ever since grace got you.
Got away with something, bubbling inside of you, spilling over cause your life is full. How incredible, undeniable, monumental like the Eiffel. Uncontrollable, let the joy flow through. Ha ha, giddy over pretty, please. Let me see your hands in the air with you while I'm just warm it up. Let it go, shout it out, celebrate. When you cannot take your legs, just say amazing, great.
The second you realize what you have inside, it's only just a matter of time till you see. So the back row hears you glide. Walking just won't do this. You don't have to know how to. Ever since grace got you left, till your whole side turned and smiled. Like you just got away with something. Why? Cause you just got away with something.
Amen. Good job, guys.
Great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved.
And this one has words up here, yeah. So we apologize for that. For not having the words of the
Thank you. Thought of me.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. Father, that you were willing to go to the cross. You were thinking about us above all. Father, you knew the need that was there. And you were willing to provide in a way that no other could. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And so, Father, as we commit our time to you today, Father, as we prepare to get into your word, Father, as we experience your grace today, Father, we just pray that you will give us an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Father. Reach down into the deepest parts of our hearts today, Father. Help us see the truth in your word today. And Father, as we continue to share in our time, we just pray that you will bless us in a special way. Father, as we lift the needs to you today, Father, the prayer requests, Father, the unspoken needs that are laying heavy on our hearts today, Father, we pray that you will work. Work in a special way in those lives today. And so, Father, may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that we say and do. We ask all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. And please.
So I just have to share that, you know, if you have a chance or the opportunity to come on Thursday nights, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, when we do pray for the church, it does work. We've been praying that God will just move in a special way. Lord, send the children. And God has really been working on our behalf. And you guys are an answer to our prayers. And we're grateful that you're here. And each one of you are, because not only do we pray for just the church and people outside of these walls, you know, each one of you are a prayer and an answer to prayer to somebody. So I just want you to keep that in mind.
Okay, so I'm put on a leash today. So. No. but what I am going to say, I'm believing that all these troubles are coming because God doesn't, the Satan doesn't want to hear the truth come out today, because I'm here to tell you, I don't know if you caught a theme today, but it was grace. And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. If you want to grab your Bibles, what we're going to do is we're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, okay? there we go. Marcus, are you giving me some sound? Is that what's happening, or did I just get stronger? Hey, I'll take it, buddy. I had this marked for you, but I've got so many things marked. 18:19 is chapter 2. Let's back up. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to dissect those just a little bit today, 1 through 10. And we're going to throw some other scripture in there, but this is going to be the meat of where we're hanging out today. And so follow along with me. 18:18 is the start of chapter 2 in the Red Bible. Okay, follow along with me. Chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And so, before reading that, if I was to say, what is your take on grace? What does grace mean to you? And I'm willing to bet that each and every one of us, if we started on the left side of the room and went to the right side of the room, that each one of us probably could share something different. Because grace means something different to each one of us, but yet it's the same. Does that make sense? It's called a paradox. And there are different things in the Bible, and they call those paradoxes. You have to die to live. That's a paradox. Okay? And so it's kind of a paradox for us, because each one of us could describe what grace means to us, but yet it means the same thing, even though it means something different to our lives, because not each and every one of us have experienced the same trials and the tribulations in our lives. But we know that God has made a way, that he has provided grace for the situation that you and I have faced. And so it could be a little different, but yet it means the same thing, because God gave us the grace in which covered the multitudes of the sins that we were living in the life before we came to Christ. And so that's where we're heading today. And so if you didn't pick up on it, today's sermon is about God's grace. Amen? And so today we're going to discuss that and the effects that it has on us as believers. And one of the best known definitions of grace are God's unmerited favor. Because we didn't do anything to deserve God's grace. God was willing to just bless us in a special way with his grace, even though we didn't deserve it. And so, real quick, I want to share a story with you. I found a story in preparation for this. Maybe you've heard the story, maybe you haven't, but I thought it was a great example of God's grace. And it goes like this. There was a story about a drawbridge operator. His job was to raise and lower the bridge. Okay, usually the bridge would remain up due to the heavy traffic in the seaway. On this day, the young man's son came to work with him. The father warned the son to stay close to the office and to stay away from the railroad tracks and the bridge. When it is time for the train, the father looked around for his son and could not find him. Then he saw his son stuck on the track. If he left the control room to rescue his son, it would cost the life of hundreds of passengers on the train coming. If he lowered the bridge, it would certainly kill his son. As the train approached, the whistles are blowing. The man released the lever to lower the bridge and turned his head away as the bridge lowered. The passengers, not knowing what had just happened, crossed the bridge safely while many of them waved to the man as they passed. Not knowing that his son's life was given for theirs. And so this is a sad but true story, but it not only represents the act of grace, but the passengers represent the condition of you and I at least at some point in our life. Because we, in our early stages before accepting Christ, were much like that passenger. We didn't realize what Christ did when he went to the cross. And so he died for us before we even knew our need for him. And so, like this father, knowing that lowering the bridge would kill his son, but save the lives of so many. And Christ did that same exact thing for you and I. He lowered the bridge, so to speak, on his son, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross to die to save so many. And many of us don't even know what took place. I thought it was an amazing story, a fine representation of what it was, of what Christ was willing to do, and first of all, what God was willing to do. So you see, we're going on our way, not realizing the price that Jesus paid for our salvation. And sometimes we often never accept his grace. There are so many souls walking around the streets of our community and the community of every other city around here that have not come to know the grace in which God provided through the death and resurrection of his son. And so I believe when God gave the Great Commission, it was meant for each and every one of us. We are all voices for God. We are all to share how Christ coming into our heart and just transforming us. We're to share that with every person we come in contact with. But yet, so many of us don't. I can tell you that I have felt God tugging on my heartstrings at some point through my walk. And I felt like I should share something. I can't recall a specific situation, but I do remember God pulling on my heartstrings, telling me, you know what, maybe you should say something, or maybe you should pray for somebody. Maybe you should. And there's been times where I walked away from that. And I look back now and I'm like, man, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And I don't know why I didn't do it. Maybe it was out of insecurity and my ability to go and share God's word. Maybe I was embarrassed. I don't know. I can't say why. But the fact is, I did it. And I regret that now. I regret that now. And so I want to say to you guys today, if you feel like God is pulling on your heartstrings at any point to share, to pray, to give, whatever he's leading you to do, take that step of faith and knowing that God is going to make a way in that situation. Because let me tell you something. If he is calling you to take a step, he's already walked it. He's already before you. And so all you have to do is count on God's leading, because he's already there. Amen? And so back to the Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And as kind of, it's kind of labeled conditions of grace. And so verses 1 through 3 are really kind of the conditions for grace, if you will. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin. You used to live in sin. just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. In those who refuse to obey God. That is not us anymore. That is not us. All of us, verse 3, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires of our inclinations, of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. We were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And so there was a fall from grace. We all know that started in the garden, Adam and Eve. Okay, and from there, we've all sinned. And unfortunately, even us as believers, we continue to sin. We may not want to, but unfortunately, we do. Romans 3, 23 and 24 tell us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so, for this reason, grace is given. Justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And so, we are given God's grace through the redemption that we find in Christ Jesus. Amen? And then 4 through 7 go on to say, it's grace is given through verses 4 through 7, that God is so rich in His mercy. God is so rich in His mercy. And so grace is coming down to us freely through the redemption of Jesus Christ. So rich in mercy. And that tells me, by our standards, when we say rich, what does that mean to us? And I'm talking in terms of money at this point. When we say, oh man, they're rich, it means they have a multitude of something. They have a lot of it. Now, we can't say it's an unending flow of cash, because I don't think that exists in our day. You always want more and you always spend more. And so you can't say an unending amount. But when we talk about somebody and their wealth and we say, oh, they're rich, it means they have a bunch of it. Okay? And so when we go back to our scripture, 4, but God is so rich in mercy. To me, that kind of tells me that God has an abundance. And I think we would be safe in saying that He has an unending amount of mercy. Because we need it. We need it. That even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. And so we were given a free gift. And 6 goes on to say, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. And so we started over here in disobedience. But God, in His rich, redemptive, unending mercy, has brought us up, redeemed us through the blood of Christ, hallelujah, and seated us. Verse 6, for He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us, guys, seated us in the heavenly realms. How amazing is that? We don't deserve that, but yet it is a gift we received. So He took us from the rut cleaned us off, and seated us on the top shelf, if you will. Amen. So God can point us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us. Amen. I think Arthur Pink got it right here. He said, grace can neither be bought, earned, or won by the creature. If it could be, it would cease to be grace. Amen. And so I think that's why God did it in the way in which He did. Because we would try and earn it every day, and others would think that they are better or greater than the next. And God says that's not how it works. You are all equals, and I did this for you. And so, if you want to turn there real quick, Luke chapter 23, and I want to share something with you real quick. Yeah, Luke chapter 32 through 43. And what we find here is the thief on the cross. We're not going to read it all. Thank you, though. I just want to point out a few things here. So 32, in fact, if you'll go down to 38, we're going to jump down to 38. I just want to point out a couple things here. One of the criminals in verse 38, there it was written, notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." 39 goes on to say, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Rebuked the other criminal, but the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." To me, this verse says a couple things. First of all, even hanging on the cross, Christ was thinking of us. Because what he did for that man, he was doing for us as well. And so, the thief on the cross with Christ recognized Jesus for who he was, much like you and I do at some point in our walk. He recognized Jesus for who he was, and he said, "Remember me this day." And to me, this is just my opinion here. I kind of see this as the deathbed confession. Because this criminal was on his deathbed. He was dying. He was dying that day. And yet he saw Jesus. I don't know why it took as long as it did. He was on the cross and he was dying that day. So I don't know why it took that man so long. Maybe so you and I could see Christ at work. But even Christ, hanging on the cross, told that man, "Today, this day, you will be with me in paradise." And he continues to shed grace as he's hanging on the cross. And so, to all mankind, it came. Grace was shed on us. Romans 5:15 reminds us that, but there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought to death many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. And so, sin was brought into the world, but God's grace overshadowed that in a big way. And so is freely given. But it's not free. Let's see what Ephesians 8 through 10 says. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take for credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things that we have done. None of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so you can do the good things he planned for us. So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And I think this, personally, I think this falls right in line with the Great Commission. Because he knew. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. And so we are dead at one point, covered in sin. And Christ was willing to go to the cross to cover, to forgive the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We were redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And now, through the redemption, the shed blood of Jesus Christ, free from sin. And so now, we are the servants of the righteous one, God Almighty himself, because he set us apart to do the good things. In Romans 6, 22 and 23, he goes on to say, but now for you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you can do the things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to share one more story with you as we near our time together. Has anybody, I'm not a big history buff in no way. In fact, I've never heard of this man until I was preparing. But the Russian Tsar Alexander, you ever heard of him? Yeah. So, okay, well, I found a little piece on him, and I want to share that with you today. And so Alexander used to love to disguise himself and mingle with his people and to hear what they have to say. One night, he visited the army camp and listened to some soldiers. While passing a tent, he saw a young soldier sitting at a table with his head on his arm, sound asleep. Alexander tiptoed to the back of the chair and looked over his shoulder. There on the table before him, he saw a loaded revolver. Beside the revolver was a sheet of paper with a long list of gambling debts. After seeing the total, Alexander noticed a sentence below the figure saying, "Who can pay so much?" Suddenly, Alexander understood the situation. The young officer had gambled away all he had and was about to take his own life for the fear of not being able to meet his debts. Then Alexander took up the pen and below the young soldier's question wrote the words, "I, Alexander of Russia." Quietly, he turned away and went home. The next morning, the young officer woke up and immediately took hold of the revolver. When he suddenly saw the writing on his letter that had not been put there before, he read the words that Alexander wrote, and in amazement, he dropped the revolver. At that moment, a message came to his tent with a messenger came to his tent with a bag of money from Alexander. The young soldier's debt was paid in full, and his life was spared. And again, another illustration that we could really associate with our lives as Christians and what God was willing to do for you and I. In this case, there was a young Russian soldier that had squandered away, created so many debts for himself, debts that he would never be able to pay back. And for him, Alexander came into the tent, saw what had taken place in his life, and he was willing to pay off a debt, much like God was willing to pay for us, by sending his son to the cross to die for you and I, for a debt that there was no way that we were capable of repaying. It's amazing. It's amazing. The love that God has for you and I, even though we are so flawed. When we talk about unconditional love, that's what God has for you and I. Because he loves us. He loves us in a way that no other can. And the same is true in the story of the prodigal son. And so I shared with you a story about Alexander, but there's also a similar story in God's word, which is the prodigal son. And I found something in my Bible that I want to share. If you want to turn there, it's in Luke chapter 15. Now, again, I'm not going to go through this whole thing. But if you want to take note of where the story is, feel free to go back and read over it yourself. But it's in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And really what I want to touch on this, most of us probably know the story. It's a young boy that for whatever reason has found that he's not interested in remaining at home. He goes to his father and says, "Father, I want my half or my part of the inheritance." And so the father agrees. It's probably likely a third of the estate. And the young boy goes off, lives the life of luxury, enjoys the sinful life, really. There's no other way of really putting that. He squanders away the wealth of his father, finds himself in a difficult situation, no way to provide for himself beyond that, and he realizes that what he had at home really wasn't so bad. And so he makes way back to his father. And we all know the ending story, that his father was so happy that his son returned. Much like God is so happy when we return back to him. Amen? But I want to point out one thing here. in my little side notes here. let's see. 15:12 is where I'm going to start in my notes here. It's not going to match your reading, but that's okay. The portion of the goods falls to me. In the ancient world, this son most likely would have been in his teens and single. As the younger son, he would have received half of what the elder son received, or a third of his father's estate. The early Jews warned fathers against breaking up the estate too early. Here, the father granted the request, illustrating how God permits each person to go his or her own way. And that is another great thing that God does for us. He gives us the option. He doesn't force himself on us. He doesn't say, "This is the plans I have set forth, and you're going to do them. You don't want to? Oh, too bad." He doesn't do that. God gives us the free will to choose the life that we want to live. And in our choices, sometimes it involves God, and sometimes it does not. And so the father says, "Okay, here you go." And so he went off and wasted his possessions. The verb here means to scatter or disperse something. The term translated prodigal describes a debased, extravagant life. And so he was off living the life of luxury. Feeding the swine, an insulting job, which is where he ended up. because he squandered away all of that money and he got a job and he was feeding the pigs. And he realized feeding the swine is an insulting job for a Jewish person since pigs are unclean according to the law of Moses. I have sinned. The son's words of repent, excuse me. The son's word represents the confession of a sinner. The son expected nothing and relied completely on the mercy of his father. And so he expected nothing but relied on the mercy of his father. And so I think we all know the story. He returned to his father and his father was elated. So happy that his son had returned. That they had a meal and they celebrated the return of the son. Because he came back to the father. Much like you and I in our lives. When we take that step, God is willing to forgive and he is so happy that we have returned back to him. And so, real quick, I want to leave you with these thoughts as we close out. This gives us some things to think about because sometimes we don't do our best at living the life that God has because he has redeemed us. As believers, God has redeemed us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And sometimes we aren't that perfect example. People are watching the way that you and I live our lives as Christians. And so even though we never may go up and say a single word to somebody, we may never say a word to that individual, but the actions of our lives speaks to them. And so we as Christians, as believers, as redeemed, should do our best to live a life that represents God in everything that we say and do in the best way possible. Because even though we may not speak, the way that we live says a lot. How sin affects us and how grace through Jesus Christ has saved us. And so we can see that through the words today, that how God has shed his grace on us, how Christ was willing and obedient to go to the cross for you and I so that we could find redemption. It also shows that we have all been sinners and that we were all in need of salvation. There are so many others out there that are in the same need. And so I want to challenge you to make sure, to put your God eyes on, if you will, to go out there and share the love of Christ, especially where God leads. And so not one of us are without sin, and so we have to remember that. You know, sometimes we can get caught up maybe in the life that we're living and forget about the lives of others that they may be living. And I don't really know how to say this, but other than saying that, you know, maybe we live above that. We have to remember that we're all on the same playing field. And that we should be sharing the love of God to everybody, even other believers, because we all fall short of the glory of God. And so we need to extend that hand of mercy and grace to others in a special way. Amen? So I want to leave you with that. We are going to close out today with the Lord's Prayer. And so, if you'll stand with me, read along with me as we close ourselves out in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank you guys for being with us. And look for ways in which you can be a blessing. Amen.